Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our meditation this evening is also recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, one chapter earlier in chapter 10. And we read there verses 16 and 17. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, Juliet asked Romeo, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other name, would be just as sweet." We can apply her true words to that holy meal that our Lord Jesus Christ instituted on the same night in which he was betrayed. Any name for that precious meal is the fragrance of sweet forgiveness for us sinners. What kind of a day did you have, or a week? There's so many crucial issues facing us as individuals, and facing our families, facing our nation, facing the entire world. Why would we take the time to come together and consider again with awe something that the world sees as insignificant? The world that's traveling by our church has no comprehension of why we are here. Even many of our fellow Christians, with whom we will spend eternity on the right hand of God, do not believe or teach or get the comfort from the fact that this meal is in any way holy or really special and unique. It is really by God's grace, through the working of the Holy Spirit, that we trust Jesus' words that are beyond our understanding. That is why we treasure the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, the sacrament of the altar, the Eucharist. It really doesn't make any difference what name we use for it, because we rely on the truth of the invitation of God's Word. Come, eat, and drink for the forgiveness of all your sins. This evening, as we once again take this opportunity to review that wonderful, holy, precious meal Jesus has instituted for us, we're going to consider the partnership that we experience in Holy Communion. And we'll consider that really in three ways. There's the partnership between the earthly elements of bread and wine and the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. And then there's the partnership that exists between Christ and me. And thirdly, there is that partnership that exists among us as we join together with our fellow believers to eat and to drink together. We call Jesus' new meal the Lord's Supper because the Lord instituted it. We call it the sacrament of the altar not because the sacrament is placed on the altar. We call it that because Jesus offered his body and blood into death on the altar of the cross. Some people call it the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. Because before Jesus instituted, or rather distributed, the Lord's Supper, he asked the blessing. And in that blessing, he gave thanks to his Father in heaven. The most common usage in our circles, and the one we're most familiar with, likely, is Holy Communion, or just communion. In the words of our text, the Apostle Paul describes communion as a participation in. We could also say that it is a sharing in common, or for the sake of our theme, a partnership, a coming together of different things. Paul wrote, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation, or we could say partnership, in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread that we break a participation or partnership in the body of Christ?" And in Greek, the forms of those two questions indicate that they expect a yes answer. Yes, they are a participation or partnership in the body and blood of Christ. This is the partnership of Holy Communion. It is the partnering of the earthly elements of grape wine and unleavened bread that Jesus used, first of all, and we follow his example because those were what were on the table for the Last Supper, the last Passover that would ever have to be celebrated to prefigure his suffering and death on the cross. Those earthly elements Jesus partnered with his true body and blood in the Word of God that he spoke in the words of institution. Take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood. We call that participation or that partnership that Paul writes about the sacramental union. It is a mysterious, miraculous coming together and uniting of the true body and blood of Christ when Jesus says it has a real presence there in partnership with the earthly elements of bread and wine. We take our Lord's word for it because the Lord's word is good enough for us. This sacramental union is what makes Holy Communion unique and special and precious to us. It is not like any other meal we celebrate. It's not like any other time for a purpose that we come together. Because if it were like everything else, then we might as well be absent when it's celebrated. If it's just like everything else, then we really don't need to make it a priority to receive Lord's Supper often as you drink it and often as you eat it, as Jesus commands us to do. Holy Communion is the means of grace through which bread and wine are partnered with the body and blood of Christ, by which you and I are partakers of the forgiveness of our sins. Mary observed when the angel told her that she was going to be with a child, responded in childlike faith, and this evening we say with her, "For nothing is impossible with God," when our human reason wants to ask the question, how can that partnership be? Well, it is because that's what God's Word says. But how about this for a partnership? The holy, eternal Son of God, a partner with me. Jesus Christ in communion with me, a sinner. How is that possible? How is that communion able to come about? Well, it's possible in the vertical partnership or vertical communion that you and I enjoy with the risen and ascended Christ. We are in partnership with Christ. Both our names, all of our names are on the door to heaven. In the hymn, in Christian worship, number 210, Who Knows When Death, we sing, His body and His blood I've taken, in His blessed supper feast divine. Now I shall never be forsaken, for I am His, and He is mine. The sacrament of Holy Communion gives us participation, gives us partnership with our Lord Jesus Christ, with His salvation. In Holy Communion, you and I receive all that blessings as sinners, forgiven, redeemed, believing with our Lord Jesus Christ. We receive the forgiveness of sins and the eternal life for the new life and salvation that it brings. In Lord's Supper, we are partnered with Christ. We're partnered with His birth. We're partnered with His obedience to the law. We're partnered to His death on the cross. And we're partnered to His resurrection from the dead. His holy birth atoned for my birth in sin. His perfect obedience of the law atoned for my disobedience of the law. His perfect death kept me now from having to die. And His resurrection means my resurrection from the dead and eternal life in heaven. Holy Communion is a vertical partnership with Christ up here, ascended into heaven, and me down here. In that partnership, everything comes from the top down. Nothing goes from the bottom up. We never work out some kind of sacrifice, create, do, offer some kind of sacrifice to earn forgiveness by which we offer up to God. Nor do we believe that the Lord's Supper is only symbolic or representative. The taking the Lord's Supper is really just acting out a particular ordinance or a particular command. And so really all communion really means is I'm lifting up my eyes to heaven, remembering what Jesus did for me. Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, is never a partnership from the bottom up. It is always the giving of something, forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, from Christ to me, simply as the recipient of it, as the beneficiary of it. In Holy Communion, in that vertical partnership of grace, I contribute nothing, but I receive everything from Christ. How important this is to remember often, because we sin often and need that assurance often. This evening again, you who commune will leave the front of this chancel in that assurance that you are departing in peace, because your partner, Jesus Christ, has given you the forgiveness of your sins. He wasn't looking for anything from you. It wasn't that we're just here remembering what happened. But Jesus actually is giving us, through the gospel, that forgiveness. The Holy Spirit tells me over and over again in the gospel of Jesus Christ that I am His and He is mine. But it is in that most personal time when I am receiving the Lord's Supper that I am in the most immediate and intimate partnership with my Lord Jesus Christ. If you want, think of it as a partner's meeting where I don't have to do anything except sit and listen to my pastor talk, and I listen as he tells me his plans for me and gives me the power to trust in those plans and know those plans and count my blessings for his grace that decided to connect me to him. And then finally, there is also another partnership in Holy Communion that is not vertical, but really is horizontal. We experience this partnership not only in the communion of saints, but also as members of a church body that makes a common confession. And it is that fellowship, that partnership that you and I enjoy whenever we get together to eat and to drink what the Lord has given to us. The apostle put it this way, because we are one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The horizontal fellowship that we enjoy when we commune together is first of all our fellowship in the body of Christ. I think sometimes we maybe forget that because of our practice of closed communion. The primary way that we take communion together is because we're all believers, because we all confess Jesus Christ as our Savior. And the Lord's Supper was given to His disciples. So first of all, that partnership, that horizontal partnership we enjoy as fellow Christians. But it's also true that fellow Christians make public confessions of what they believe. And one of the ways we acknowledge a common belief is by church membership and by taking communion together. So when we commune together, we are confessing, as Christians, we're proclaiming the Lord's death till He comes. As Lutheran Christians, we're gathering together with one another in that partnership of confession of what we believe and what we teach and what we hope for in the future. Communion, Holy Communion, really brings together and acknowledges both of those particular fellowships. The one is still invisible because our faith is invisible. But the other one is visible. And so that's why we don't invite even our fellow Christians to join us who don't understand and don't believe what the Bible says about the Lord's Supper. What a blessing it is for a congregation and for a church body, for that matter, to have that horizontal fellowship. Think of the blessing it is when you and I travel and we go to another city or town, and we go to a Wells church or an ELS church or in Africa or in Europe or someplace else with Christians who confess the same as we do, and to be able to take Lord's Supper, Holy Communion with them in that horizontal partnership. What a blessing it is for a congregation as spouses, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, pastor and people, and fellow members, joined together in that visible and invisible expression of their common faith, of our common faith in Jesus Christ. The frequent offering and generally frequent reception of the Lord's Supper in our congregation has done much to bring about the blessings we enjoy as pastor and congregation here at Bethlehem. Holy Communion, by any other name, is just as sweet to the sinner's ear. It is the fragrance of our Christian and our Lutheran partnership. And God not only invites us to come and savor His grace, but in whatever we call it, He gives us His grace and forgives our sins and puts us at peace with His power to His glory. Amen.